Good morning. 6:35 a.m. Mountain Time. For those of you who aren't aware, 6:35 a.m. Mountain Time on August the 2, 2013. Lovely morning. I am so close. I have a couple of small tuning fixes to make to the EPUB, and I can start the conversion process to Mobi so that I can then upload it to Kindle. And assuming that all goes well, sometime probably early next week, I'll upload it to Barnes & Noble and Kobo. Yeah, 16 2/3. Not bad for first mile. Anything under 19 is good. So yeah, working out. It is indeed working out. So yeah, probably later on this morning, I will do the Kindle upload. Almost assuredly before noon, but I don't know how long it'll take Kindle to get through its little in-house process. I've seen it take as little as 2 hours and as much as 2 days. So, I don't know. I'll post it and we'll see how it works out. But I'm pretty excited because this is the first unreleased book. This is the first new release of a previously unpublished title that I've done in the Share series. And while the double, you know, while the backlist is selling really quite amazingly well for as long as it's been out, this is really going to be kind of the test. I know I have some numbers from when Ryden did the releases. And I have the numbers from when I released them on Patio Books. And things have changed a lot. I've lost a bit of momentum, I think, in terms of customer base. But I think, it'll work out. One of the things I'm thinking about today is a survey that one of the romance writers put out, apparently hybrid writer. I don't know this person at all. Good morning. So I'm not quite sure what her positioning in the marketplace is. But it was a pretty good study. It was about 3,000 people, not quite 3,000. Of her readers, and you know, it's good that she surveyed her readers, I suppose. The instrumentation was pretty badly flawed, and her survey methods were also pretty badly flawed. One of the problems, there are several problems with the survey. The first problem is that even accepting her data as collected, and she did, I'll give her credit, she did post her items along with the breakdown of responses. But the problem is in the survey items themselves, and then the conclusions that she drew from them. Just two items. Are you more or less likely to buy a self-published book from an author you know? And the two choices are more likely, less likely. And of course, more likely wins. And the next one was, are you more or less likely to buy a self-published novel from an author you don't know? and of course the don't know wins. Now the problem with this is that the question is flawed. The responses are all right, I suppose, but the question is flawed because you don't know what question the participant is answering, because she doesn't say greater, more or less likely than what. It's just more or less likely than not. It's not, you know, that's a possibility. Or would it in fact be the actual contrapositive, not contrapositive, the actual inverse of the two, and there are two elements. One is self-published versus mainstream, the other is known versus unknown. And so, it's an interesting question, but the responses, you can't really, they're not really reliable, because you don't know what question they're asked, they answer. One of the questions that, one way that that question could be interpreted is, are you more or less likely to buy a book, a self-published novel from an author you know, than from a mainstream author that you know? Or are you more or less likely to buy a self-published novel by an author you don't know, or by a mainstream author you don't know? That's the same one. It's hard to do this without notes. But I think you get the point. It's like, there's like four different questions tied up in that one little highly innocuous. And you don't have any way of knowing how the reader interpreted that question. Because on its face, there is no proper answer. Because there's no other than. More or less likely to buy a self-published book from an author you know. More or less likely than what? I suppose the answer, the question that they were shooting for was, or not. More or less likely, or not. So the question itself is kind of flawed. It's really badly flawed. Then there's a question about reader preference on format that is just completely whacked. Just completely whacked. And the trouble with it is that the conclusions that were drawn, which fell into the category of, oh my God, look at all of these people who read paper, who prefer paper, who you need to reach through traditional publishing because traditional publishing is the best equipped to produce paper. Okay, well, leaving the who's best equipped to produce paper aside for a moment, we have to go back to the data. And the data is one of these questions where I pick all that apply. So which of these formats do you prefer? Pick all that apply. Okay, 10% of the people said all of the above, which isn't very useful. 77% of the people said ebook. 51 or 2% said paper. Another 22 or 3% said hardcover. Some ridiculously small number, like 7, said audio. And then 10 people said all of the above. Okay, now the problem is with this item that you, if you pick all that apply, you lose the ability to determine which one of these is actually the preferred mode, the preferred format. So something like 90% of the people will read an ebook. 87 point something percent. When you add in all of the above and the 77, almost 78% of people who put down ebook as their preferred, as one of their preferred choices. So nearly 90% of the people will read ebook, which says to me, okay, yeah, ebook is where we need to be. And then if you look at paper, it's 55 plus 10, so 65% of the people will read an ebook. Now, the only way that that's actually surprising is that it's not 100%. Because people have been reading paperback books for years. Monkful. So, why isn't that 100%? Well, because some of the people who would otherwise have picked ebook, paperback rather, actually do now prefer ebook and did not select paper when presented with the question. I suspect in large part because they didn't realize that it was select all, and so part of the problem is that you really can't trust the data because you don't really know if the person responding actually understood that they could pick multiples. And you don't know what the actual preference is because you don't know that people didn't pick multiples. In fact, it's pretty clear that they must have because the totals are like 400%. No, they're not that high, but they're still very, very, very high. So it's an interesting question. It's an interesting problem. But it certainly doesn't support the conclusion that in order to reach these 50% of people who prefer paper, you need to go with a mainstream press, because it's not clear that 50% of the people prefer paper. Start there. Mathematically, at least half of those 50% had to have said ebook as well. So, yeah, that's a problem. That's a bit of a difficulty. And here's the problem that I see with it. This is why it's taking my brain cells today. And that's that people are going to read this and they're going to go, oh, wow, I should be doing this. No, maybe. This isn't an argument not to do it. But it's also not an argument to do it. That's the difficulty with it. That's the big problem. I know a couple years ago, some well-meaning individuals put together a survey on how successful indie publishers were, how successful indie authors were. And their numbers indicate that the average independent author earns $500 per title, total. The problem with that is that the average doesn't really mean much. What would be really more interesting might be median. And what would be really interesting would be looking at the standard deviation. $500 plus or minus $10,000 means $500 is, for all intents and purposes, zero. It's also not particularly valid. It's not, because it was a self-selected survey, so it was valid for the people who answered the survey. It was not valid for probably thousands of others who never even knew the survey existed. Now, while that should be, some guy off in the corner of the internet does a survey and publishes data that's really quite bogus. If it had stopped there, it would have been fine. But The Guardian found this survey and started running indie bashing articles in the UK about how unprofitable it was to be an independent writer. And so we keep hearing how indies only average $500 per title. So it's not really worth their time. And the problem that I see with this survey is that one of the conclusions was, well, you have to publish paper because half of the people are still reading paper. You really need to go with mainstream because that's how you reach those people. In spite of the fact that another item on her survey showed that even among her readers, only about 40%, I think, actually shop in a bookstore. A bookstore is the only place that a mainstream press has any kind of leverage, any kind of liberty. There's no other way mainstream press has any kind of advantage other than bookstore distribution. Now, for a mid-list author, that advantage is slim to none, because mid-list authors don't go in bookstores anymore. They haven't for, I don't know how long, because I haven't been shopping in a bookstore, because I read mid-list authors. I read genre authors. I don't read mainstream press authors. So none of the books that I'm looking for are going to be at the bookstore. That's a given. In large part, it's a given because I only read ebooks. I very seldom even pick up a paperback anymore. It's not, you know, ebook is not just my preferred, it's largely my only format. But I recognize that I'm also an early adopter, I'm also an outlier, I'm also a heavy reader, I'm also cheap, and I would much prefer to read 10 books than 3, because that's how the price breakdowns work. And I would much prefer to read something that's a little bit rough around the edges than to read something that is exactly the same story that I read last month with the settings changed and, you know, the MacGuffin has been shifted one step to the left and the characters all have new names. And it's just, no, I'm not going there. So, yeah, my problem is that people are going to read this study and they're going to go, oh, well, yes, this is what I have to do. The press is going to pick up the study and they're going to say, wow, look at these numbers. Yeah, look at these numbers. It's astonishing that when you ask all of the people who follow you on Facebook what mechanism they use to follow authors, a vast majority of them answer Facebook. It's sort of like going to a hockey game, somebody pointed out on one of the threads I was reading. It's sort of like going to a hockey game and asking the audience, what's your favorite sport? Who's your favorite team? Yeah, this doesn't exactly stand up in terms of statistical rigor, in terms of generalizable findings that you can then use to apply in other contexts. Her audience is not even, I don't believe her audience is even representative of the romance audience as a whole, although it's closer to the romance audience than it is to all readers. And the difficulty is, of course, that she's touting this as finding out what readers, not just what her romance readers want, not just what romance readers read, but what all readers do. That's where I have a problem. That's where it breaks down, because I would really like to be, have some of this stuff be true. Like the price point, $4.99, is, you know, by and large the most commonly expected price point for a novel of 80,000 words or longer. Yeah, cool. It plays right into my strategy. The problem is that I have a bias there. I have a confirmation bias. It's telling me what I already believe, and so of course I believe that what it's telling me is true. Except that I have to be careful to say, except that this data is flawed. They're not talking about my fans. They're not talking about science fiction fans. They're not talking about readers as a whole. They're talking about a subset of romance readers who got the link to do this survey, opted to do it from the basis of a Facebook page and a couple of tweets. Not exactly rigorous. So, yeah, kind of a problem. Half minutes. Not bad, not bad. But this is where I say tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.